Even in the county California?
Yes.
So I want to remind you, you see the title of the talk, I want to remind you about the small field models of inflation. I will not dwell on why they're interesting and so on. If you have questions, you're welcome to ask. And my main purpose in this talk is to show you that you can, contrary to expectation of popular wisdom, you can get a large signal of gravity waves from these models, and you can get observable spectral index friendly. I will define these quantities, and I will show you the experimental situation with spectral index friendly, which is a parameter that is somehow has been neglected by theorists, and I think it's a very interesting parameter to focus on. And this is related to other work with Shanton and Dobin-Lehan. This all is essentially my students' thesis with some additional work that he will do. This, I don't think I will have time to do. Maybe there is interest, I will flash it. And this, again, I don't have much to say, and depending on time, let's see if we'll get there. So let me remind you of a graph that I'm sure you've seen. The axis here is NS and R. NS is the spectral index of scalar perturbation. I assume that everybody has been exposed to some of these words in the past, so I don't explain them too much. R is the ratio of gravitational or tensor perturbation, the scalar perturbations, and this is a graph that many times people show in this plane. The different models of inflation are divided into categories. This is from one of Wilkins' papers, and the region where I want to focus on are small field models. See here that the classification of the models is in terms of the slower parameters epsilon and eta that I will define shortly, and I'm sure most of you know. But there is another classification in terms of the range of motion that the field, the inflaton field, moves during the approximate 60 epochs of inflation. And so small fields are such that the inflaton moves in less than one reduced Planck unit. And large fields are models where the inflaton moves more than that. And then there's the hybrid class. The classification in terms of the slower parameters and in terms of the range of motion is many times has a large region of overlap, but they're not identical. So there are some models that are large field models. For example, EVAS model with the field running around, delta phi is larger than M Planck by about, so it's a factor of 10, but the CMB parameters are here, so in the small field. But this is the general class.
Your inequality is not continuous, is that?
No, there are. So here, for example, the lines are the lines of boundaries.
But I mean, they don't agree on the lines.
Not really. Is epsilon zero on that first line?
This one?
Yeah.
No, in this case, I think it's because epsilon equals zero.
Epsilon equals eight.
Right.
But then they would both have to be zero for inequalities too.
So what is the definition of epsilon? Is it the problem of the usual?
No. Okay. So let me
I mean, are these rough inequalities, or is it looks like they're not really consistent with each other?
That's the first time ever that someone's going to have to think about it.
Sorry for asking an obvious question.
But this is epsilon less than eta.
Mm-hmm. So your second one is also
less than eta. Ah, so this probably is the other way around. So this is so eta is negative and epsilon is positive. Let's
okay.
Just go through that.
Okay, I just want to point it out.
Okay, I'll check it. This is taken from Will Kinney has this.
That's no excuse.
No, but the thing is that I've been showing them for so many times, and
that's
nobody.
No,
I know. So I have to take them.
Okay.
Very good. Anyhow, so this on this graph, these are the WMAP results, and this is assuming that there's no running. And you see here that this sort of the graph region, and many people interpret this graph incorrectly to say that WMAP has measured the spectral index, or it indicated that the spectral index is the 0.96, and there's no run. And this I will explain later why it's not quite as. Okay, good. So now a brief introduction to small field models of inflation. So the idea is that if we have some fundamental theory, designing a large region in space where the potential is flat is many times problematic. So the idea, there's some argument about the credits, but this is what I wrote.
Yes, and will you mind explaining? Because I never heard of that.
Yeah, so he's actually in my department, and he looked at the charge hedgehog configuration and noticed that the core, if the core is large enough, it inflates.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the same idea that the...
That it was before, much earlier than...
This was the 91, and these were 94. Now, the order here, if Andres was in the room, I would be... But these follow the dates of the tape. Okay, so that's the order of the dates of the paper.
Maybe these are recorded, so you
can't. I think the important thing is that it's really a beautiful idea, and it says that it still has some problems, but it just says that if somewhere in field space you have a maximum, not necessarily a maximum if it's a multidimensional space, it's just an extremum that you need. And if that extremum is wide enough and the field can sample in space both sides of this extremum, then inflation will occur, provided that second derivative here is small enough at the maximum. And
so let me take issue with that.
Okay. Yes.
You're assuming kinetic energy of the field is zero.
Right. So let me go through the scaling argument. So, yes.
So the intuition you have based on topological defects is that these are static configurations. And now you're plunking this into the early universe and assuming kinetic energy.
So in this case, Let me go through the scaling argument, which I'm sure you know, but maybe some other people don't, and then we can discuss that, because actually this is something, in fact, Amai Vasaspati, which we were also having a discussion about that, and it would be So if there is a point here, I would like to understand. So the reason, so how would I see that this configuration will look like? And so let me look. So I have two parameters. One is the width of this feature in the field space. That's just delta. This is the width of the wall that's generated here in space, in regular space. So I'm now estimating the kinetic energy of the field.
Gradient.
Yeah, yes. Well, I'm
the viewer, you,
okay.
Yeah. When it's by now, so
okay. So yes, so I'm estimating here the gradient energies and if they are less than the potential energy, lambda is the height here, then I can use essentially the Friedman equation, and I find that if delta h is larger than 1, which is equivalent to this larger than np, then you get an inflating force. Now, you still, so I'm coming to this. So what you still need, as thinking all models of inflation, an initial region which is quite large and homogeneous in the sense that gradient energies are this. And I'm assuming here, as Neil pointed out, so here there's another term, which is a phi dot. Okay. And I'm assuming that this phi dot is subdominant. So I'm essentially assuming that there is a piece of homogeneous and isotropic region that is of the order of age. And I was saying that in his experience has to be 3H or something like that. And this is a problem, but I think, is this something that would be common? On the other hand, this is eternal inflation, so I'm not sure. I took it personally, this, to say that I don't have to worry about the initial conditions. You would disagree with that. So what would be, so here, how would you phrase your objection to that?
There's some class of initial conditions that gives you inflation, and some class that doesn't.
Yes, but the thing is that the class of initial condition is doesn't seem to be necessary to exponentially tune.
It's
debatable.
Depends on how you look at it.
It's always the measure.
Yeah. Okay.
No one knows what the measure is.
Okay. Fair enough. And what I want to show is a version of that we did with Shanta, which so we see that, we sort of understand how things work. The interesting observation, we didn't phrase it quite like so, but right, Shanta, but I think it's as easily phrasable in this way, that even if the field is going up here, does come down, so this intuition of a domain wall or some topological defect is gone, the same idea can be applied. And the way it works, so again, this is in this paper. This is the paper that Andre. This is the paper that Andre left, the one that I told you about. So I'll tell it to you in pictures. And I think you can translate that to equations. So the idea is the following. This ball is a field that sits here. I still need to assume homogeneity, so no gradients. Now, if this field starts from here up in this potential, what will happen is that it will start to roll very quickly. So its kinetic energy will become dominant almost immediately. Now imagine that the initial condition here, there was some additional leftover radiation or matter, almost anything will do. And what happens is that the kinetic energy redshifts very quickly, and very quickly the other stuff, matter, radiation, what have you, becomes dominant. At that point, cosmic friction, the 3H5O term, kicks in. The field stops essentially. It's like a parachute, and then it falls. So it loses kinetic energy because the universe continues to expand, and it just falls to where it jumped. And if this jump is in this vicinity, then we get a similar effect as we did in the previous time, without the necessity of having the other region here. And this, by the way, can also be this we checked, and again, there's an issue of initial conditions, but there are many initial conditions that lead to it. How important these many are, as was mentioned here, it's related to measurement.
Is there a tuning there or something that you just fall just precisely close to the?
Yes, so if you don't fall on the flat region, in the same way that previously, if your field didn't cover that flat point, if you couldn't sample these two regions, then you wouldn't get that. And here it's the same. So if it samples this region, then inflation will ensue. If it doesn't, then it will not. And what I'm saying is that, for example, if you look at this these type of potentials, you see that because the jump here is essentially it's a finite number of, let's say, 2 M Planck or something like that, then if you start from almost any region here, it would jump and hit that. And then there will be other regions, other initial conditions where you wouldn't. Okay. So in this sense, this makes me like, for example, in this case of multi-dimensional modulized space, that's something that you can imagine that can happen. While getting very extended regions of flat enough potential regions for moduli is less easy to get. In fact, I don't know the same. Except for this one other one. That's 5^2, so it's flat enough. You have a question? No. Sorry.
Good.
So this is why I like small field models. Now, these are the definitions of the parameter. I think you recognize them as the standard ones, right? This one is sometimes, well, maybe some of you are not quite familiar because it's a higher order one. We would be in the models that we will use, it would not be particularly small, but this would be an interesting parameter for us. And another formula that I would use is that this number of e-folds is given by the integral over 1 over square root of x. Just a simple substitution. It's a standard formula. And again, I'm not showing all the standard formula because I assume that you're familiar with it. Okay. Again, standard definitions, just to refresh your memory, the scalar power spectrum, tensor power spectrum, index. Index of scalar perturbation, and it's running. I said is an interesting parameter, it's D, and it's E lambda K. And the approximations that are used for the analytic, for most likely the analytic views, are these, of course, in numerical examples, we can compute them more accurately. But what you should notice here is that the main contribution to alpha will be given in the models that I will describe, will be given by this V, but this V triple prime. Yeah. So this V triple prime green prime. And these are typically would be much more of a therefore relative distance. Okay, so now I want to explain to you the two myths about the small field models. The first one is the fact that in small field models, you do not get gravitational observable, you cannot get an observable signal of gravity waves. Okay? And it's just simple application of this formula for N of phi. So now if I assume that epsilon is roughly constant during inflation, I can take it out of the integral and I can get a relationship between R and its numbers, and depending on what you put here is the numbers show that you need phi of at least order one to get the tensor to scalar ratio to be about 0.01. 0.01 is chosen here because this is the optimistic, the optimistic goal for discovery of a signal of gravity waves in the cosmic microwave background. It may be too optimistic, it may be a little bit pessimistic, but this is getting much below that is probably very hard. So, and in practice, if you ever tried to play around and try to see that, you see that you need at least 10 Planck units in field space to get a reasonable model that produces gravity. Another, this is a quote from a paper from a few years ago. This is the spectral index range, so this alpha parameter. A definite, let me read it because it's not. Thus, a definite observation of a large negative running would imply that any inflationary phase requires multiple fields or the breakdown of slower. Alternatively, if single field would be much closer to zero.
So why is it funny? It's
funny. It's fun because I'm going to show that this is actually
incorrect. See, now it's funny.
No, there is a difference because if you take the assumptions that they make, then their result is actually correct. So the point is that their assumptions were a little bit too restrictive. But somehow, as time passed, this has become something that people think of as a fact. Okay, and so that's okay. So let me explain to you why. So let me explain this. Using a class of models. Let me explain why this makes sense. So let's take the simplest small field model of the type that I was discussing. So there's a maximum and the field and the potential rows. It's the simplest because if you take if the deviation here is quadratic, so P needs to be at least 3 and in fact 4 if you want symmetry, because P equals 2, so quadratic deviation is actually not a small field model. The range of motion of the field is about 14, 10 square root of 2. So it's not really a small field model, quadratic deviation. So the idea is you look at that potential with a P, and we take P as a variable. And now you can compute all these observables, in this case, analytically. And then you can, in this case, you see that alpha goes like 1 over n squared for all these type of models. So n is roughly 60, so that's a number of the order of 10 to the minus 4, and you will see that this is roughly the case.
So that's n from the end of the inflation?
Yes.
And the m and n seem to be the same thing?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, n is a, if this is alpha as a function of n, and the observable one is at MCMV.
So end of inflation is when epsilon is 1?
Yes. This was written on the transparency. And the exit, so here, eta is actually the biggest row parameter. It goes like 1 over n. And you see it's negative, so that's the red spectrum. And epsilon is actually much smaller than n. You don't quite see it here in this form, but it's. So if you take this example on this diagram, you see that it lies here, and you see, because epsilon is so small, you can see, can you see from there? So you see, this 10 to the minus 7, 10 to the minus 6, 10 to the minus 6, 10 to the minus 4. These are very small numbers. And now you can imagine that you'd complicate the model more. For example, in this case, perhaps allows you to tweak some of the parameters and get larger values for these lower parameters. But again, you can, in this case, compute analytically, and you see that the numbers get a little bit larger, but still they are very small. Okay? So this actually, when you look at this class of models, it can be quite complicated because it can be arbitrary and there are additional two parameters. They actually conform with the two statements that I showed you. So now, since these models can actually be constructed within modular inflation or what have you, then the question that I wanted to find out the answer to was, okay, let's assume that a year from now, 3 years from now, gravity waves signal in the cosmic microwave background is detected. WMAP7 will come up with this plan. Well, why not? Let's be optimistic. Then would it mean that small field models in this case, would I need to throw them out? Are these ideas about the type of inflation that I was discussing? Should I decide that experiment observations have ruled them out or not? And the same with the spectral units running in. And with that, the situation is slightly more pressing because as I will show, there is actually an indication for spectral index running in the data. Everything's So I, a word of warning, it's a hard measurement, and if you want, I can expand on that. I've just been learning about that recently because I, as almost everybody else, I haven't paid too much attention to this parameter. So this, these are graphs. The other axes are not important. This is alpha, essentially. This is alpha. So this is having max 3. And you see here that these contours, these are 2 sigma contours, all lie in the negative region. And the central value is actually is quite large, minus 0.05, minus 0.08. Same here. These are not just WMAP, but WMAP plus. Now here, the alpha axis is here. And you see the error have grown, but the central value basically remains the same. And it is, there is a, the central value in most of the likelihood is in the negative region. Same picture here. These are more recent results. They're dominated by the WMAP result. This is CBI. And if you just take the published numbers, you see it's, in this case, it's almost 3 sigma away.
What are the 3 different levels there? Different combinations of things.
Yes, I think, well, it's different. I should have put it here. It's, these are different assumptions about DSZ component, because that's really where, at this stage, there is a, they cannot, they don't really have the range to do the, to do the determination by themselves, so they need input from the SZ. And the SZ is actually going crazy on the SZ community between it, between themselves cannot agree on the number. And when they try to get a number, the CMB people, they get a number that's very different from any of the numbers that the SZ people get. So,
so it's basically how you subtract out the SZ component. It's very important for the running.
Right, you're right. So, right. So, as far as I can understand, here I'm repeating words that Dick Bond told me, with not much of internal processing. So, but I'll say them anyway. So, it's known that the lower multiples of the CMB are low. The lower S are low. Now, the data, so if you just try to extend that, the data prefers larger power at high scale. So this is essentially the tension that, and that's why, for example, that's why you see this NNs, the central value of NNs, but here you cannot see it, but
that looks like running, yeah, if you squash the low L multiple.
Yeah. Now here, in this quad result, the similarly, the value of the run is below zero, but the central value of NS now has pushed further towards one. So,
what is the potential change? This is the value.
This is assuming this is allowing a GWM to fit, and this is. No, but I mean, you don't do it.
And the blue and the orange above is the same thing. And then the previous one, the blue and the orange, that's the same thing.
This one?
No, that one to right.
This? No, here, this is a, this is, one of them is WMAP alone, and that one of them is WMAP with additional information. And you see here, the central value of an S was a, quite bigger than one. So it's moving around, and they are associating this with the way that DSC is can. So Davering map 5, for example, put a cap on DSC city. Because they, again, I'm repeating without too much fuss. They, if you do it directly from the CMV, you discover a very large signal, which is much higher than any of the SC groups are giving. And so anyhow, if you look at that now, so the experimentalists are very, the people who work in the experiments or do the analysis are saying that we shouldn't put too much emphasis on this. On the other hand, looking at it from the side, I see what seems to be a consistent picture. Now, it's a little misleading because many of these observations are essentially dominated by the WMAP observation. So it's not as if I'm showing 9 different independent observation, but still the trend is there and they acknowledge that. And in fact, because of that, I think measuring the spectral index running will be a major, major goal for the nearest CMB experiments. And what I want to argue is that within the class of models that I will present now that will be able to accommodate, small field models that will be able to accommodate this, they are linked. The gravitational wave signal and the running are linked. And they're all signaling, so in this case, observable spectral index running is related with the high scale of the pressure. This is what I want to add. And that's where the additional constraint on the effective field theory can be very important. Okay, so now I want to show you that the two myths that we spent some time building up to are actually essentially there are restrictions that we put on ourselves in terms of the amount of tuning. And building models, and they can be evaded. So the idea is very simple. We already know that with a constant epsilon, we cannot generate a small field model that will produce a large signal of gravity waves. And the trick, the way to get away from that is very simple. Design, so remember, n was given in terms of an integral over square root of epsilon. N was so if I design a region, so let me think in terms of square root of epsilon and not three. Design a region where square root of epsilon is small, let's say 1, right? That's where most of the inflation will occur. The CMV point will be somewhere here. And this can be tuned by additional parameters in the potential. And so this picture shows three different models. Three different, representative of three different classes of models. So this screen is a large field model where epsilon is almost constant, and so the field has to move a lot in field space. This is the small field models where epsilon is also roughly constant and small. And this is the new class interpolates between the two. You look at it in terms of the potentials that this came from. So this was the blue one was the potential of the kind that I discussed before, minus AP phi to the PA. This one is 4. This is a large field model that's being moved down so that it fits on the picture. And this is one of the new class new models. So you see, it's not that different from the blue one. Very slight differences, but they are enough to change the conclusion and allow spectral index running in a large probability way.
What is this present a little bit?
This. You thought that I would keep it a secret? So I parameterize this, right, as a minimum plus a small constant. So this takes care of this region. The potential here is this form, so it's not quite an inflection point, but has some similarity with it, because you see this leads to a cubic tension in the potential. And in general, we find that to satisfy all the requirements, we need, so this would be like a third order polynomial, and we find that to satisfy all the requirements, the minimum number is 5 parameters. And let me explain what the role is. Some of them you can see already here, and associate them with plural parameters. So I basically, so my goal here is to design these models such that they produce any value, any desired value of NS, alpha, R, and would produce enough inflation, et cetera. Okay? And so I need to write, what I want to be able to is write equations for the parameters of the potential in terms of the observables and solve them. And the complication is that this one is, if you look at it naively, it's a nonlinear equation. But in the way I presented it here, actually, the trick allows us to make it almost a linear equation, because most of the inputs are obtained here, where the other parameters are not important. So I write the potential as a function of phi minus phi min. My CMB point is at 0. This one allows me to sort for the number of inputs, and then I use the other parameters to tune the potential coefficient.
So where is the field 60 volts before we end the
situation? So in it's here. So it's always 0.
Is it not on the other curve? Is it
here?
At the minimum at 60 volts?
Yeah,
it's there. Okay, so why is it important to you that most of the inflation happens?
Because here I cannot make the field run 60 volts and get and have a large epsilon and still get enough inflation. This is the same problem that that Easter and Paris were.
So you have a lot of the E folds after that? I mean, which way is the field going in
the
picture?
The field is going.
Okay, fine. Yes.
So it's going here, it's going from here to here. That's the range. This potential.
So most of the E folds are happening when it's sitting at the minimum.
Yes, but it's a minimum of square root of epsilon,
sure.
Not the potential.
Sure.
So it's a, it's.
But it's after
exactly
the perturbations were generated.
Exactly.
Yeah, but
so the trick, the mathematical trick, is to separate the region where the CMB perturbations are generated and the region where the most of the E folds are occurring, and that allows us to basically avoid all these.
But since there is a problem, first of all, there are tiny foldings of inflation that we do actually observe. And so what happens when epsilon becomes so small is that
it's always small, right?
But it becomes very small because H doesn't change very much, your amplitude of the scalar fluctuation becomes huge. Because H squared divided by epsilon is amplitude of the scalar fluctuation. So H squared doesn't change very much. But the epsilon goes to 0.
This is an example here where R was 0.2, so it was an extreme example. But so that you can play with. So, but what's the?
So that's the thing. So you have tending foldings over a ridge. You need to keep that with a fluctuation at 10 to the minus 5.
Yes.
And I think that already gives you a constraint.
Yes. So, but if you put that and you look at the original analysis that Light did,
yeah.
He puts 4 equals.
And
four equals,
yeah.
Because at that time,
that's right.
Right. So sure. If you put 4 equals, you see that the fields needs to move about 0.3. So what I'm saying is completely consistent with that. It's okay. Just a way of making use of going to this minimum allowed motion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's just emphasizing that there's nothing deep about that. It's just saying that. That you have to understand the actual content and not to take it as if.
So can you have that tending fold or 4 fold?
Yeah, you see, you can see it with your eyes.
So that region is around 10.
Yeah. And you can design that to see once you allow yourself to draw a square root of epsilon, then it's clear that you can. Satisfy this constraint, and you don't need too much derivatives to okay. So we can solve that. You don't. This is a table of different models. You don't have to make an effort to see what's in there. It's just that the impression. Or if you are really interested, you can look at the paper. But the point is that these are not special. I could have generated 10 tables like that because I have now equations and I can solve them in terms of the observables. So it's not always absolutely true because sometimes you have to work a little harder to find a solution. But the point is that there's a very large range of possibilities and just a graphical demonstration that this set of equations that I have, I can solve.
Did you check the real black hole constraint? Can you have so much power under your small screen?
No, but I don't think offhand. So this scale of inflation is about 10 to the 15 or 10 to the 16 dB. So I think that wouldn't be that much of a problem. Can you remind me what's the typical
thing? Do you need to get a constraint on this speaker index, the blue speaker index, can you? You know, given the amplitude that we observe on CMS.
No, this is actually, you see, in S, it's very, very close to one. So I think
but
these are.
But your zeta is contributing, that your third order is still further.
Yes.
So you're canceling. So even though epsilon is decreasing a lot, you're sort of canceling that by. So
I don't think there's anything as canceled again. Because
no.
A square root of epsilon goes from 0.2 to
almost
to
zero. So I don't think the power blows up.
So the power jumps up, so you can produce a lot of power.
I haven't checked it, but in the scale is, in this case, is I don't think it's high enough to do that. But I will. Thank you. And in this case, again, So again, this graphic representation, just on the same graphs, and the points are allowed to give you the graphical impression that it's possible to find them anywhere.
Could you get positive alpha, or do you just use numbers like that alpha negative?
Yes, I could. In fact, the previous version. The paper, actually, we were working on this for a year because we wanted to prove that these models can also produce large non-Gaussian, which is another statement that people like. That we haven't yet succeeded in showing that it's possible. And then when we were just about to write the paper, this quad paper came. And the NS moved, so we have to do to redo the graph here, but we can get any number. So.
There's no tuning.
Well, there is.
I mean, in the sense of the parameters that you're choosing.
Yeah, the tuning is in this case, so if you remember, in the simplest small field models, you had to tune one parameter, or maybe two, to about 1/60. Okay. So here you have to tune three parameters to about 1/60, and there are two others that I don't know exactly how to quantify their tuning, but they're not particularly small. Okay. So there is additional tuning, obviously, that's involved with making it epsilon like a check. But the point is that this tuning is not, doesn't seem excessive, and this is the price for you to get away from the statements that you cannot get observability GW, you cannot get spectroning and scanning in small field models. Now the point is that now if this is measurable, this is measured spectroning and scanning. I didn't mention that, but essentially no other model, no other, so that other part of the statement that the Eastern Paris made is correct, that it's very, very hard to get spectral index running of any sign in any inflation anymore. That's why it's an interesting parameter to follow.
Your small field is still pretty close to the Planck scale in terms of how much you move, right? Order one less than Planck scale.
Yes, we can. So we can, pushing it below a half becomes a problem because of what was mentioned here, but so we can do a half. We can. I don't think that at this point, the actual, if it's a half, 0.81, that's a.
But it's so the dimension six operator, say you stop at 5% or something.
Yes.
So dimension six operator, would you have to tune the coefficient as well? Which is 5 speed.
I think that not, because of the scaling arguments that I will argue shortly. But if there is, it's not particularly strong. So they typically, on the CMB observables, they don't have any effect, right? Because the CMB, by definition, the conventions that I'm using is at 5 equals 0. So what they have is the most effect that they have is at the point where inflation ends. Also on this, if I parameterize this higher, this dimension 6 and higher in terms of phi minus phi min, then they don't have any effect on the number of defaults, essentially, but they affect somewhat the parameters of the cosmic microbar. But if the distance between phi min and the CMB point is smaller than the distance between that and the end of the equation, so it could be a 0.3 or something like that, of the order of this number that comes out. And so if you take 0.3 to the 6th power, it doesn't have much effect.
Okay. So, Rami, I don't understand the statement. Why are you saying that this is special for this class? Because naively, you know, I can just repeat everything you did, and instead of the field phi, use 1/5, right? And then the question is, how do I write down a kinetic term? If I would write down a canonical kinetic term for phi tilde, which is 1/5, I would be saying exactly the same words, except that my model would be a large field operation.
Okay. So I don't disagree with that. So let me give a version, a slightly different version of your proposal. Okay? I'm not saying that this trick cannot be applied to large field models.
Right.
So if I take this, right? And so the only problem is that in this case the field moves more for a given amount of input, right? Mm-hmm. So I have to, instead of doing something that's near zero over a very short range, I will have to do a modification here. So then the question becomes,
that's still fine tuning the least.
No, I'm just, in this case, I have, first, personally, I haven't thought about how to implement that. And then, if there is a specific, in this case, I know that these operators come from higher dimensional operators, so I expect In this case, I don't know, but it may well be possible to do it this way.
But I guess maybe then in your case, how everything, whatever you are saying is stable with regards to higher order correction.
So this is what we were discussing now. So I said that it's pretty stable because I can do it this way. Let me parameterize the potential as a series in near of powers near phi min. So where phi min was the point where square root of epsilon at the minimum. Okay? So in this case, the higher order effect, the higher order terms do not have any effect on the region where most efforts are obtained. I'm just repeating what I said before.
But that's a backward argument, right? So in some sense, you are by doing what, by saying what you're saying.
So now in my phi CMD is at zero, right? Yeah. So now the leverage that these higher order terms have at zero is shorter, right? Because phi minus phi min could be 0.3. And so a Taylor expansion, provided that these A's are not particular, it should work. And in that sense, this model is not particularly sensitive to higher order correction. I cannot reconstruct the potential. Given a set, I cannot reconstruct the potential, but so it just means that there are many potentials that will give me the same. So my point here is just to show that it is possible to construct reasonable models that do give spectral index running in large GWs.
So can I ask?
Yes.
So it's very possible that this literal approximation breaks down actually, because what happens, your potential is has some stuff and all of a sudden it becomes completely flat. Well, I mean, that's how it looks like. So yeah.
Well, I don't see that. This one is 1 minus 8. A phi to the fourth. So this is, there's no problem with it whatsoever.
But then it becomes flat or on the right.
Where?
The red curve.
This one?
Yes, exactly.
It's very flat.
Yes, because this is.
But the epsilon is very close to zero. So my point is that essentially the kinetic energy might dominate this curve.
No.
Because.
It's a very flat potential. If you start with initial condition, the attractor.
But there would be a one where this, essentially, if you just coming down all of a sudden it's flat, there would be a one where the kinetic energy. Kinetic energy doesn't dominate, but at the higher order level.
No, I think.
It's slow roll as you're coming down and it gets flatter. It's going to get
more slow.
Well,
so see, the thing, the question is phi dot and dot plus 3h phi dot plus b.
But if phi dot and dot is wrong.
But if b prime is exactly zero, then you cannot.
B prime is no.
So that's my point. That if you all of a sudden,
if you have a very flat potential, it will inflate.
It will inflate, but it won't be a slow roll. So that's okay. So you can argue about that.
No,
but
I think it will just stop. Yes, it will stop exponentially.
So you cannot ignore phi double dot.
Well, we can discuss that, but my experience is that it's okay. If I create a very flat potential, it's good.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah. I think the problem is that if I got a little dot, they become the same order. They're all so small.
But it doesn't matter if you want to cast a.
There's no real difference. You see, this one actually is flatter than the red one, and there obviously there's no problem, right? You're not trying to argue that 1 minus 8 4 5 to the 4 is not a good
effect. The flatter you get, the better slow roll.
That's not true. That's not true because if B prime is exactly
stopping
zero.
Stopping your slow roll. If B prime is zero, the field stops, and that's exactly.
It could have kinetic energy. So it could
zero.
It inflates away. It inflates as 1/8 to the 6.
Again, I disagree with that. It could have completely flat, but you have kinetic energy which pushes you.
No, but you come into it in slow roll.
You come into it in a slow roll, but you don't continue with the slow roll.
Let me take on the role of chairperson and say, let's give this discussion.
Where slow roll will end is when you fall off that cliff.
Exactly.
That's what you're doing.
Exactly. And all that you need to do is make it
higher and make it like cliff. But that's after.
So just speaking about cliff. So let me give you just now from a field theory perspective some sense of where these models start. So first of all, they are high scale, and they need to be applicable in this range of energy, since I'm running over time, let me skip that and just focus on this. So you remember lambda 3, the running was mainly determined by the value of the cubic term in the potential and by square root of epsilon. So I can now transform this equation into an equation relating r and lambda 3, and I parameterize here r.01, that's the, you remember, the goal for future observation of cosmic microwave background. And this is alpha 0.05, which is normalized to the central value of the ratio.
Lambda 3 is just a coefficient of 5 cubed in the potential.
Yes. This is, so I'm allowing my field to be normalized this way, and because the field actually moves the Planck distance, and I'm getting this result, where that links, again, it's not very deep. It's just links. So what this is saying is that if running is observed and this parameter lambda 3 is not particularly large, then R is observed. It's basically saying that large running goes together with a high scale inflation, which is just coming. And that translates into really a very narrow region of inflation and scales. Quite hard. So in this sense, alpha, the running, the spectral index running, is as powerful as R in determining the scale of inflation, and apparently it is easier to detect. So definitely if it's as big as this, it will be detected by Planck. That's what, again, I'm passing information without yet processing it.
But you, in a sense, you're saying it's on the verge of being measured now.
Well, that depends on the actual value of alpha, right?
Well, so you showed some data which hints at it. Yeah.
But in this case, the claim of the, so let me be the devil advocate. So the experimentalists, the observers say, look, this whole running is an artifact of the SZ. We don't want to trust it.
Right.
On the other hand, there is this tension between the low multiples and the higher ones in terms of the power. So perhaps it's showing that there's something additional, who knows. But if what this is showing, and it would be interesting to find out whether naively in other classes of models this doesn't happen. So the only place where I can actually test such a relation is in models that produces observable running. This, so far, the models that I presented are the only ones that can do that.
Didn't Kamiyokowski a little write something, you know, when the low multiples were detected, they wrote some paper with squashing the low multiples by having a tilt.
Right.
Maybe something like that. I don't remember the details.
The thing with the low multiples is that my tendency so far was to ignore that.
Yeah.
That's,
but some people have written papers.
I know. So, well, they're actually,
not,
yes.
Not totally dissimilar to this model. Maybe.
Probably
they're different. I think they were doing large field models.
Right.
And adding it, but you're actually making a cliff
but,
and adding it.
Yeah, but here in this case, So it may turn out to be that these two parameters, in S and the spectral index running, perhaps are not good enough to describe
but
the data.
I can get spectral index running without having at all.
Presumably, so that's this picture that I was trying to draw. But within this class of models, maybe if we allow ourselves some more freedom and so on, we could do that. But in the same way that the simplest class of small field models produces red NS and negligible GW, this is sort of the next simplest one that allows spectral index running in GW. And in this simple class, they're correct, which is an interesting observation.
Okay. So yes. So let me skip this superiority stuff.
Skip the conclusion.
So the supergravity stuff is just actually showing that you can design these models also in supergravity, which is a non-trivial problem. So I personally had tried for more than 10 years to do that, and then we solved it, and also in Jan Louis and others, we were just looking at Keller potentials that had negative curvature. And there you cannot get them, and once you get out of this, you can design all the designing stuff that I did in bosonic terms, I can do in supergravity.
So this would be with Champagne needle.
And so let me just mention that because some people are the audience. So what this would suggest is high scale of inflation. So high scale of inflation is typically associated with largish values of volumes and largest values of stuff. Because a way when G string is very small and the coupling is very large and the volume is very large, you know that the potential is small.
Depending on how you mean functioning by that, or what's more, I guess that you need to get those scales, you need the volume to be 10 to 3, 10 to 4.
No, the.
Once you can test 10 to the 15, 10 to the 16.
Depends on how small the coupling, right?
So, in this case, MS. So a string in this case is about 10 to the 17.
What's the 10 to the 16?
The lambda, the inflationary scale is about 10 to the 16.
Okay, no, we have
MS is about 10 to the 17, depending on it. So
it's about 100.
But
100 is not small.
Okay, but. But it depends also on the value of G string, right? If G string is smaller, then MS gets smaller.
Right. You always get a cross scale, you get a volume of 10 to the 3 in the typical.
Okay. That's, but it's not parametric, you know. And this relative small separation, which I think it is interesting. For various reasons. Okay. So I think I've said enough. I'll stop here. You can do the conclusion. Thank you.
Any questions?
Go ahead.
Well, small field models are interesting for other reasons.
Why don't you?
E.g., I mean, we just had Lenny Susskind here telling us for a month that small field models are the most likely.
Yes, but one
string theory.
For reasons other than I explained.
Yeah.
It's very strange because I heard him just 2 years ago saying the opposite. I was trying to convince him with all my, with everything that I could to, that you don't really, you don't need small field, you don't need large field models in string theory, and you wouldn't get, right? You remember, I told you about it. So it's interesting to find out, so why?
He likes, what does he like? He likes this picture of the landscape with the omnipotential.
Yeah. So that's
and this. Then, no, but then he likes convolutional bubbles. Okay, with inside the bubble a long period of slow roll. So I'm this is just a kind of impressionistic comment.
Okay.
Your model is sort of halfway. Because basically you have small field, you have structure in the potential, and you have rather sudden transitions.
This is probably something that we should discuss afterwards.
He doesn't. So you could put a false vacuum near your stuff, and it tunnels out onto your wheels.
Right.
And then
let me say something because we actually did some work with Jean-Pierre on this.
I'm just saying it's going, if you buy the small field, that small field fits more naturally in string theory than your
model. So the reason that in the papers that I mentioned from 2002 and so on was we're actually going explaining that that rationale. Mm-hmm. So I think we were probably the first to point that out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice that Lenny is semi-convinced because this large period of this long Korman delusion bubble is still a problem. But so, typically, if you want to think about it in terms of tunneling and so on, actually, depending on which sign of the wave function you choose, but there is some sign that tells you that you prefer to tunnel to high places.
Okay.
It's a gravitational wave, it's the wrong sign kinetic energy. That's a disaster.
Okay. Anyway, so if you, it depends, again, as I said, it's probably better to discuss it afterwards. But there's some prescriptions where actually the field likes to turn to a very high situation, and if it tunnels with some amount of radiation, then this clear mechanism that I was describing can be in operation, so it's, it does fit into that. The way I'm thinking about it is that if you have a very complicated potential, you're bound to have some extremum.
Mm-hmm.
And this argument, barring some issues about the initial conditions, says that if you have an extremum that, in addition to V prime equal to zero, is not a clue.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it happens if you have generic potential, it will happen. So one of them needs to be wide enough and flat enough, and the amount of tuning that you need there is not extremely large. You need, the width needs to be larger than Planck, and the scale of curvature at the top of the potential needs to be about 1/6. Because that guarantees for you that you will get. Then you have to add on the stuff of the initial condition, so you have to get to this situation with a small amount of kinetic energy, phyto, and then it will be triggered. Okay. Now, again, if you write if you have the right Keller potential for the moduli, so the logarithmic is no good, but as soon as you get away from it, you get these type of potentials, and so I would say that in this case, the simplest quote-unquote prediction of this picture is an S smaller than 1, between 0.95 and 1, but below 1, no observable gravitational waves, no observable spectral mix running, no observable non-Gaussian. Which is actually not that far from where the data wants to be. And this one is showing how much effort you need to get away from that. And then unfortunately, you cannot say that if the data will tell us something else, this picture is incorrect. It can be accommodated at a price. This would be my attitude.
Any other questions?
What about the programming computer? What kind of computer potentials you were allowed to know?
So actually, here the best way of thinking about it, so you have now to switch a little bit and think differently. So now, if you're thinking in terms of small field models, then pick a point where the maximum, where the potential has a maximum, and now make it error expansion of everything. Okay? So you essentially have a polynomial superpotential, polynomial chaos, agreeing with whatever the Kähler has to be real, the potential neuromorphic. And now when you parameterize it this way, you just get algebraic equations for the coefficients. The only trick that you need to do is the only non-trivial constraint, non-linear one, is that you want the width of this feature to be larger than n flat. Now that, when you try to write this is a non-local condition on the potential, because it just tells you that two different, you cannot use Taylor expansion to express this. But the trick to do that is that you can replace this by demanding that there be a minima that are like width apart. And that you can do in local terms. So essentially you reduce all the equations to polynomial equations, linear equations, and now you can solve and tune and write, I can write the superpotential for any of these models.
The log
potential
didn't work.
No, the log, if you have a single log, then this whole discussion doesn't matter, right? If you have a single Kähler, it would just run too fast. So, and the reason why the log doesn't work is if you have exponentials with the log Kähler. So, the reason that it didn't work is that you need the Hessian such that one of the directions is negative. You need one of the eigenvalues of the Hessian to be negative. And you can prove that for the log or anything that has negative curvature, that cannot happen. You cannot, then this is what we've been struggling for many years trying to create the maxima or minima. It was very hard because of this property. And we, together with Shanta and Izono, we discovered it, and then also Yang discovered it. And so it is clear now what the obstacle to do that was there. It wasn't some basic property of supergravity, but it was some specific property of the.
So maybe we'll stop there, and if you want to have more discussion.